This episode is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, experienced wealth managers who go above and beyond to guide and support you. CanDo is more than just an attitude. It's navigating today for a brighter tomorrow. Visit candowealth.com.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm James Heal and I'm joined today by Katie Balls and Isabel Hardman. Now, Katie, I think the big news this morning was the 6am announcement to the local newspaper of Theresa May that she is going to be stepping down come the election. I think the 60th Tory MP to do so. Talk us through this news.
Yes, so I think it's a trend when you think about some of the Tory big beasts of recent years. A lot of them are planning to step down, different governments and so forth. You have David Cameron technically back, of course, as a peer, but generally, whether it's Sajid Javid standing down, you have obviously Kwasi Kwarteng, who briefly was Chancellor, but before was in the Cabinet a long time. And then there's all these questions about Jeremy Hunt, but of course he insists he is fighting on. But it feels as though lots of the figures who spent a long time in Cabinet and former leaders are now looking at the state of things. And there's almost that end of an era feel. Theresa May, I think, announced in her local paper, Maidenhead, which she's been praised for, rather than going, for the big headlines. Of course, it is being followed by everyone, so you get them anyway. And she said, she still believes a Conservative victory at the election is possible in a small group, I think, for now, in holding that view. But it's quite clearly from her statement, she's not using it to criticise Rishi Sunak or the direction of the Tory party. Instead, she's giving the reasons that she's been working a lot on modern slavery, causes from her time as Prime Minister she's tried to make into legacy issues, and she thinks now is the time to focus more time on those and less time in the Commons chamber. The bit that she's not saying out loud, I think, is of course that the Tories at the moment, there's one poll today which I think be a little bit sceptical of, just in the sense any poll either way that looks extreme, but there's a poll for People's Polling suggesting the Tories are now an 18%, so there is a sense there's Tory Armageddon coming, and even if they manage to stem the losses or have a turnaround, it feels as though the 14 years of Tory government are coming to an end, and therefore it is a time to go. Was Theresa May herself vulnerable? Technically, it's a blue wall seat. I think things have to be pretty bad for her to lose it. And also, I think there's also the incumbency element, if people think you have been a good constituency MP. So I don't think it's because she thinks she's about to lose her seat, but it is the sense that I think the Tory party is going to look very different after the next election, which is not just cue the jokes about, because there'll be two people left, but because the level of change you're going to see in the numbers stepping down, the new MPs coming in, means things will be quite stark.
Isabel, with Theresa May stepping down, it means that no one who held a great office of state prior to 2018 will now remain in Parliament, sorry, in the House of Commons, after the next election, it looks like. Talk us through what this means for the kind of Conservative Party and Parliament as a whole, having someone like Theresa May stepping down and choosing to spend more time outside of Parliament.
Well, we've still got Liz Truss, so we can all be grateful for that. I think to a certain extent, she's a bit of a loner in that she doesn't have a big faction behind her. So I don't think it really speaks to a kind of, wider truth about her side of politics or anything like that. I mean, a lot of her kind of more natural fellow travellers are likely to still be around in the next parliament. And, there's been some analysis suggesting that the One Nation group, for instance, is going to be the most dominant force if you extrapolate the various bits of polling. So it's difficult to say, this is what this says about the Conservative Party, because she's always been a bit of a sort of, a bit of a loner in that sense. I think, it obviously, as Katie says, there are a lot of people who are looking at time in opposition and thinking, no thanks. And Theresa May's already been in opposition. She was, she was a shadow minister. She has seen what it's like close up, the sense of powerlessness, the fact that it goes on for a lot longer than you initially expect, and has concluded, not unreasonably, that she can, with the experience that she has, achieve a lot more outside of Parliament rather than knocking at the door of a party that you're not in, who's in government, to try to get things done. And I think that's probably, for her, the right conclusion. She may also think that actually the party is heading for what may be quite an unhinged period in opposition. And so it's you know, it's not one you particularly want to stick around for if you have been leader and you've got your own views about how it should be led. I think she does have a kind of brand of politics that certainly she thinks isn't very fashionable at the moment. So her book that she recently published was very much about the importance of public service and about taking your responsibilities if you're in a powerful position, not just in politics, but in, you know, big institutions, organisations, whether it's, you know, the police, the post office, the NHS, whatever, that you have to take that position really seriously. And she has this long passage in that book about how a lot of people who go into Parliament in particular don't seem to take public service seriously anymore. And I think to a certain extent, she's slightly restricted by her own perspective, as we all are. But I think she doesn't fully understand what motivates other people. So I don't think she's somebody who gets that colleagues might want to earn huge amounts of money. I don't think she's somebody who really gets that for some people, the attraction of politics is it's sort of, you know, it's fun and it's gossip and the kind of the world that you end up inhabiting as well. And she finds that quite distasteful as opposed to being just part of the mix of motivations that you know, all of us have in doing any job. So I think she might be looking at the kind of the ecosystem of Westminster and thinking that it's, you know, that it's not a very attractive place to be at the moment, that people are motivated by the wrong things. But I do hope that, you know, I have to say personally, I do really admire the way she's just plugged away as a backbencher, having left power, that she hasn't seen it as being a kind of boring job in and of itself, that she's got really into scrutinising legislation, that she's done a huge amount in the chamber, and also that she's really carried on campaigning for the causes that she has found interesting, that she's taken up over a very long time. So modern slavery, for instance, she first picked that up as a result of Fiona Hill, her advisor, when she was in the Home Office, legislated on that, did more as Prime Minister, has continued to campaign about the protections for victims of modern slavery whilst a backbencher. Domestic abuse, again, picked that up in the Home Office when it wasn't fashionable, did a huge amount of legislating on that, both as Home Secretary and as Prime Minister, then continued to campaign for domestic abuse victims after leaving Downing Street. So she's very unusual as a politician in that she actually picks things up because she thinks they're serious rather than because they're fashionable and then sticks with them. You know, we haven't really had a sort of Theresa May 2.0 where she's become interested in something else. And I think that is quite admirable, actually, to have an attention span that long.
Katie, what do you think Theresa May's legacy or politics will be?
So it's an interesting one. I agree with Isabel. I think that if you look, obviously now David Cameron is back, but if you look how David Cameron and George Osborne, you know, dealt with losing, you know, the two most senior positions in government, which, you know, is a suggestion for David Cameron had to stick around, George Osborne leaving very quickly. I think Theresa May actually doing what she said she was going to do and putting in a decent stint after, and to Isabel's point, contributing that way, has enhanced her reputation. She's also earned quite a lot of money, I would add, in the sense that if we look at, you know, Prime Minister's post-earning, she has done a lot of speeches while being an MP. I think she is probably, I think she's played her hand very well by finding her causes while also reaping the financial benefits quite successfully being a former prime minister in a way that I think eluded David Cameron for a while. And he struggled with, and he almost lost both sides, whereas she's got the balance where she's managed to actually, you know, have a probably an improved reputation from leaving while also doing what lots of people want to do when they leave politics, which is make a lot of money. When it comes to how we remember her as a prime minister, I mean, I think it's very easy to criticise Theresa May. I think, as ever, when you're weighing up, if you look at her time as Prime Minister, as I think, you know, the obviously long time she was a Home Secretary before that and other briefs, because this is a time-limited podcast, it always comes to, you know, did the circumstances mean that she was pretty doomed from the beginning? Or did she exhibit, you know, traits which hastened her demise and caused these problems? And I think that certainly, I mean, there are lots of people who would argue, oh, things could have been so different in a, you know, an improved way for the Tory party had Vote Leave got their act together after that Brexit referendum and managed to go straight in. But then you look at the Boris Johnson premiership from 2019 onwards, when they had a majority of 80, and look at where we are now. And regardless of where people sit on Liz Truss, Boris Johnson, Rishi Sunak, and what exactly has gone wrong in that period, you cannot say Boris Johnson's number 10 was particularly well run. and he had several self-induced, you know, scandals and so forth. So I think, you know, Theresa May stepping in when she did, when others couldn't get their act together, initially it looked as though she did have a grip on things. I think she, if you think about that period of building up to the 2017 general election, her premiership was a missed opportunity in how catastrophically wrong the 2017 election went. But I think there were signs of trouble long before that election. If you think about the control freak nature of her premiership when she first entered, heavily relying on Nick and Fee, as they were seen at the time, those two aides who, you know, control everything. And then when 2017 went wrong, almost, you know, letting Fiona Hill, one of the aides, take a lot of the blame for it, and she's stuck. And that's a survival thing to do. But you can't escape the fact that you're the person who appoint them. I think you, as a prime minister, you cannot hide behind the work of your unelected aides. You know, that is a decision that you know, if they treat people, you know, if they're accused of treating people badly, if the decisions don't work out, you know, at the end of the day, there's no more serious job, is there, than prime minister. So I think that, you know, there's some hubris and some problems that were evident from early on. And then I think after 2017, it just, you know, that was a premiership that was just out of her control. And, you know, I think maybe The Spectator was the first to do that Maybot cartoon, but it was effectively that point, you know, just being pushed and pulled in different directions. And I think, you know, at times, I think people will admire her for just sticking with it, you know, when lots of people might have just gone off in a huff and said, I've had enough of this. You know, she really pushed through because I think she thought that was the right thing to do. But I do think there is, in the various, and there's been so many now, you know, crunch points of the Tory party in the period. I remember there was, you know, I think it was Lee Rowley, the Tory MP, who said, actually, Prime Minister, you know, stamina, you know, do have it, like, it's not actually enough. You can say it's a good trait, but it has to be, you know, just turning up isn't a reason for someone to keep doing things. And I think that in the end became quite clear of her premiership. There just wasn't, you know, her trying to do the right thing was just not going to be enough of all the elements around her.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Isabel. And thank you for listening to Coffee House Shots.